There are an assortment of different places in the Scripture, particularly the New Testament, that is very, it's crystal clear about the will of God. Very clear. And one of the things, one of those places we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, at verse 16, we read from there. By the way, pick up your new calendar editions for December. They've been modified and will reflect that we are reverting back to the time change previous, beginning this Sunday and thereafter. So make sure that you get your new calendars. The announcements appropriate will be made on Sunday, and necessary phone calls if need be. We read at verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. The word evermore catches my attention. Like, for example, rejoice in bankruptcy. Rejoice in terminal illness. Rejoice in loss of employment. Rejoice when your car breaks down alongside of the road. Rejoice evermore. And I'm wondering, as I look at that, if does that compel the Christian conscientiously to rejoice even in those circumstances? We read on in the 17th verse, pray without ceasing. Now, again, without ceasing is pretty connected to the same concept as evermore. Does that mean that that your time, in order to conscientiously do the will of God, requires you to be praying 24/7 and allows for no distractions? Or does that mean something just a little bit different in the context? Because we come to the 18th verse, and it's very clear here, where it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So those three things, rejoice, prayer, and thankfulness. In those three verses, there is a seam, a thread, that seems on superficial reading to require the saints' constant attention without exception. Well, I'd like to lend in a little bit of a different concept. One of the things that old Henry Bosch, the great commentator of the 50s and 60s, a devotional writer, said was that thanksgiving, which of course is what we undertake at this time, thanksgiving is one of the most delightful blossoms in the garden of sanctification, he said. One of the most delightful blossoms in the garden of sanctification. That process by where the saint is being taken from spiritual infancy to adolescence to youthful adulthood to finally a degree of maturity and then on to the seasoned sainthood of life. It is a process, this sanctification. And thankfulness all along the way definitely decorates one's life, so to speak. Benjamin Franklin wrote an article that appeared in the early 1800s in the American School Reader. And I'd like to just read a brief excerpt of what he said, because the idea behind it is that no matter what comes in to your life and mine on any given day, God does not want us to be continually overcome with our sorrows and with our trials. Would rather have us meditate on the blessings. We have a hymn in our book. You know, I think we might have done it this past week. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. But you know, our blessings come and go so quickly. There's not time to keep a schematic of them. Nobody will deny that they are present. But Benjamin Franklin said this, as he looked back on the original visitors to our land who came to seek religious freedom, he said, there is a tradition that in the planting of New England, the first settlers met with many difficulties and hardships. And it, as is generally the case when a civilized people attempt to establish themselves in a wilderness country, being piously disposed, as they were, they sought relief from heaven by laying their wants and their distresses before the Lord in frequent days of fasting and prayer. Constant meditation and discourse on these subjects kept their minds gloomy and discontented, even as they dedicated days to fasting and prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but probably one of the quickest ways to put me crosswise, mood-wise, is to keep food from me. Huh? You know, I don't tell me I can't eat. You know, and as a diabetic, it's all the more accented whenever I need to get food and I can't find food. Not only do I get a little bit well, that too, but weird and confused. Okay, I'll say it, let's leave it that way. But he said, Benjamin Franklin went on to say, at length, when it was proposed in the assembly to proclaim another fast, a farmer of plain sense arose, and he remarked that that the inconveniences that they suffered, which were many, and concerning which they had so often wearied heaven with their complaints, were not so great as they might have expected, said the farmer, and were diminishing every day. As the colony strengthened, as the earth began to reward their labor and to furnish liberally for their substance, and above all, that they were there in the full enjoyment of liberty, both civil liberty, religious liberty. He therefore thought, this farmer did, that it would be more becoming the gratitude they owed the divine being if instead of a fast, they should proclaim a thanksgiving. His advice was taken, and from that day to this, they have, in every year, observed circumstances of public gratitude sufficient to furnish employment for a Thanksgiving day, which is, therefore, constantly ordered and religiously observed. So we count our blessings and we name them one by one. I would imagine that the blessings to those people who first put something in the ground in the New World was easier to count than ours. Wouldn't you think? Their blessings would have been easier to count. I would imagine that their eye was on every stalk of corn as it appeared above the ground. I would imagine that with great observation, they eyed the game that was brought into the assembly as individuals were able to obtain it. Everything a blessing. And every day that they could go by and not have to look over their shoulder waiting for the magistrate to come and beat their door down because they didn't conform to religious establishment was itself a blessing. So I'm thinking back then, their blessings were much easier to count than ours. Ours, they come so rapidly. Frequent, day by day by day. And you know what we might wind up remembering most vividly? Not the blessings, but the bad things. If you ask the normal, typical guy in any probably Christian church, so what happened in your life this week, you probably, I wouldn't say always, but you're probably going to hear the blunders and the freakish things that happen in the individual's life, and going past all of that, the myriad of blessings that God had actually bestowed. As a matter of fact, the challenge is if our words of complaint and bitterness of the past year were placed alongside our expressions of gratitude, how truly thankful would we appear? I come back again to this text of Scripture in verse 18. says, and it just, I think it's rather obvious, that God does not expect us to be thankful for everything, but in everything. I can't imagine Job being thankful when he got news of the loss of his children. I can't see him clapping his hands and thanking God for that. I don't think that when he got news of the death of his servants and the rustling of his livestock, that he gave thanks for that. And finally, when he lost his health, I don't think he gave God thanks for that. But here's what he did do, if you remember. It there in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now that's an expression of thanksgiving. In everything, not for everything. So I'd like you to think about that as we finish out our evening tonight and we move on in the next couple days. And many of us will be getting with family members for and friends for Thanksgiving, and as is our annual custom. And I pray that the simple things in your life will catch your attention. One of the things for me that I have for a couple of years now, and I suppose this stems back 6, 7, 8 years ago when I was first given a cold brace of water in the face over it, was that when I get out of bed in the morning and I sit there for about a minute on the edge of my bed, how thankful I am that my feet work. And then how thankful I am that I can stand up and walk to my study and sit down and open my journal, open my Bible, get everything laid out for kingdom time, is what I call it. The most refreshing, happy, happy, happy time of the day is that first hour or two or three spent with the Lord every morning. And so whenever I'm sitting there, especially as the temperature goes chilly and every time the old furnace kicks on, I hear it click out in the living room, the thermostat, and then the furnace runs up. I thank you, Lord, for the heater. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the heater amazes me like my heart and your heart amaze me. You know, without any maintenance or little maintenance or nothing at all, it continues to go beat by beat by beat by beat by beat. And for some places, in some guys like this, he gets 3 times for his money on occasions when the heart's out of whack. So triple time. So there's a lot of things to be thankful. So this is the will of God. Very clearly said. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's very specific. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your kindness, for your blessings. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your dear people. Thank you, dear God, for preserving a copy of your word that we might have it in hand. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the way that you safeguard us. We are so unworthy, but you safeguard us from day to day. Our community is relatively safe. And while each neighborhood is rife with their assortment of boneheads, yet, dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that in the main, our people and our community are able to dwell safely. And we are glad for that. Thank you for America. Thank you, dear God, for the soldiers that have lent themselves to keeping our nation secure. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that in due time, that they're with a new commander in chief, that they would be under a better oversight and care, and might be able to do a thorough job instead of having to curtail their operations for the sake of political expediency. We look forward to the day when all this will be over and all the shootings and the beheadings and the revolts and the riots for whatever reason occur, that we will be in the kingdom and the king will rule. Our dear Savior comes to earth and will sit upon the throne, and there, dear Lord, we will have life like we can't even possibly imagine. Truly, Lord, we are grateful for the very contemplation of life in the presence of the eternal King of glory. Hasten the day, Lord. Hasten the day. May your mercies be upon the folk here tonight and for the upon the balance of our church families. We ask, dear God, that we truly might be a thankful, prayerful, and faithful people for Jesus' sake. I ask it in his name. Amen.